Hello and welcome to Start, Sit, Cut, our beginning of the week mini, beginning-ish of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Sonics McCoy. Joining me as always, he thinks Michigan is America's team. It's Jason Waterfalls. Is that true? Do you really think that?
Do you have proof that it's not?
I don't. I have proof about a lot of things with Michigan right now, but not that they're not America's team. I told you before we started recording, Jim Harbaugh needs to send Jimbo Fisher a fruit basket because his coverage of the suspension has been wiped off the face of the news cycle just because of the audacity of Texas A&M to just be like, we're going to light $76 million on fire just to get this redneck out of here. But is there anything more to say, or is this just like a slow moving car crash and we just like need to like let it transpire first?
You mean the Jimbo thing? Just kidding.
God,
what if we started calling Jim Harbaugh Jimbo?
Ooh.
Is there something there?
What about, okay, yes, and what if it's Jimba? Because of Harbaugh, you know?
Oh, Jimba.
Jimbo and Jimba. if he goes to his hearing, like he says, and he's like, Jimba's going to talk. Jimba's going to name
that's,
names.
That's why this is interesting with Harbaugh. I mean, honestly, if he starts spouting off about stuff, and this is the guy that would, he does not give a S.
I really do hope, again, and I know I've talked about this, but I hope this is the longest end game long con for him to do a whole hearing stand-up routine on Ryan Day's fake beard coloring. And like, that's all this has been leading to, just so he can like really pants Ryan Day at a hearing. And they actually didn't have any, like it was all like they have proof that it wasn't Connor Stallions or whatever, which one of the big regrets of last week was, you know, we did two episodes. You had this genius idea off air that I was like, let's save that. Let's talk about that on the episode. And it was about Connor Stallion's next job. Do you want to talk about that here? Do you remember what you had said?
No, I don't. I remember saying something in that sort. I didn't remember that being my idea. And I don't remember what I said. So tell me, this will be fun for me and the listeners.
It's going to be a revelation for you on the thing that you said to me that I was like, that's incredible. You said that Connor Stallions, which every time I say that, and I think this is how we got into it, that feels like a porn star name, right?
Yeah.
And I think what you had said was his next job, like who's going to hire him, right? And it's like, will he go NFL? Because he's obviously like, he's good at code breaking. You suggested he should get an OnlyFans and he should just be like, everyone's got to, all the NFL executives or college executives got to pay for my OnlyFans. And once a week, I'll break down a team and be like, here are all their signals. I think that's a great idea. It's genius.
Code breaking for hire. You know what I mean? Like, what else would be a better OnlyFans? Nice, safe, reasonable, illegal. Sure.
Sure.
But you just send me in a code. Send me in the Wordle. Send me in connections. Whatever the case may be. Send it in to me and I'll break this code for you.
There's like lip readers. What's the difference between what he's doing?
His OnlyFans just ends up him being doing the Wordle for everybody every day.
That would be incredible. And he's nude. And they're like, you don't have to. And he's like, I just feel like I do. I just feel
everybody's like, just like, text back, please. Text only.
Jason, we're a day later this week because we wanted to observe the holiday weekend, but also we had some travel in the mix. So, Jason, how are you, man? How are you doing right now?
Well, kind of wish we would have recorded yesterday. You know what I mean? Because Monday Night Football, woof.
Yeah. I mean, look, it is what it is. I'm sure we'll get to it in one of our Start, Sit, or Cuts for this week. But we'll go ahead since I wish I had more to say about Jimba, but I just don't. So, you know, it's
I have stuff to say about Jimbo.
Yeah, I've got Jimbo because that's I want to start Jimbo this week. That's okay, going to be my start. I want to start. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But I think at the beginning of the year, this is kind of what I thought was going to happen, which is why I was interested in, you know, interning with them as a fan for a year. It just never got as interesting or entertaining as I thought it would be. So that's my fault.
Okay, but we might be there now.
It could be. Now, if what Andre had texted us in our thread was that Bobby Petrino in a neck brace was going to be the interim head coach, I wish that was true. It's actually not going to be true. But if that had happened and it was full coup d'etat mode, now I would have been back in on it.
You know that Robert Petrino is doing shadow coach stuff right now. Like, he's been doing shadow coach stuff since he got there. This is what led to all of this happening to Jimbo. And it's going to be the Bobby Petrino show. You know that. Absolutely. God. No matter who got named, it is going to be that.
We're not going to put any interesting takes on the fact that Texas A&M paid him a little bit less than $100 million to go away, you know, and people have really talked about the contract and how there's no offsetting language. So if he goes and is like the general manager of a Buc-ee's in Texas, he's still going to get every single cent of that contract, which is incredible. Does that make you want to take like another job, like another head coaching job where you're making a lot of money? Or does that make you want to like take like some community theater classes and just like really embrace your passions?
I think it's both. I think you become a special advisor for the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Like whoever you think is going to win the Super Bowl, become a special advisor right now for. And basically you're only asking them to pay you in private jet trips.
Yep. Yep.
Because you've got the money. You just want them to do the logistics that you don't want to have to deal with. And then it's public theater. It's being a special advisor and it's public theater. Maybe you wrap that into one.
Okay, I like
that.
And
when you go and you tell them what your reports are, you're hamletting them back to them.
I love that. There's a real performance element to it. You know, to be or not to be a two down back system. That is the question we are asking. I would want to go more vindictive if I was Jimbo. And I would call Mississippi State and I would be like, hey, heard what happened. Heard I beat you so bad that we both got fired. Weird, right? What if you hire me? And just the prospect of them hiring him and him ever beating Texas A&M during the duration of his contract. So we can have the headline of like Texas A&M paid Jimbo Fisher $25 million to beat them in College Station. That is, again, I'm just a chaos agent and enthusiast. That's the kind of stuff I want right now.
Okay, yes, and next season, Texas is in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Jimbo's just roaming the sidelines on Texas with a Texas A&M hat with an X in duct tape over it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, another one. Connor Stallions needs an intern to put that OnlyFans together. Someone's got to get him that tape, you know?
I like how Jimbo is Connor Stallions' intern, right? Not the other way around.
Yep. Is there any chance he ends up in Tuscaloosa as a quality control offensive assistant after the fire he lit to Nick Saban last season or last offseason?
Absolutely. This is what Saban does. He collects them all, right? Yeah. He's the Pokemon trainer. I think that him, Jimbo going to Alabama and just sitting around, Jimbo goes there and he just starts takeover rumors. Like, I'm the coach in waiting.
Ah.
Like, you gotta share some of those rumors when you're going around. You know what? Jimbo is now a candidate for all SEC jobs.
I love that he's lurking. I don't know if anyone takes him seriously. That's the thing. The real tragedy here is that I think the buzz is he doesn't like coaching and he's not good at coaching anymore. Like just the aspects of coaching, because there have been some very damning tweets or posts just about all the blue chip stuff talent he's gotten and how he hasn't developed it. And part of it's like it just didn't pan out. Some of it's like, well, COVID year, but some of it's you just don't have it anymore. You kind of lost it. And I think that's the rumor. The really interesting part is who is Texas A&M going to hire coming up. I've got a list of some.
Don't say the name.
Come home, Urban.
The devil can't go home to hell.
Urban, come home. I think he said, like, I'm done. But if he ever wasn't done, this is the job to not be done for. You know, I think they would eat him alive. I think he'd eat them alive. It would be like a snake eating its own tail in College Station. But
Texas A&M just paid $76 plus million to Jimbo Fisher to go away. And Arizona Athletics might have to cut full teams because they mismanaged their budget.
It's
like, what? Like, you don't want to talk about it and it's not fun, blah, blah, blah. There's always money when there needs to be.
Sure.
But my goodness, that is a huge amount of money to go away and to not have all these other clauses in the contract.
It's just
a different time. It's just coaches aren't getting that type of contract anymore unless you've won a natty at that school.
Well, and this, Major League Baseball went through this. I mean, it's kind of still going through it, but it went through it where it was handing out these 10, 12 year contracts. I want to say in like the early 2000s, you know, because they're doing it now for the really elite guys. But they went through, like, I remember like a Mike Hampton contract where you're just not going to get it. And I think with Mel Tucker, with Jimbo Fisher, these deals are going to have, there's going to be a recession on these for a little bit, but it's a great point that you're making, because all the people who are really upset that these players have NIL money. And it's not crazy NIL money. It's just what they're worth or what the market says they're worth. You also have to be really upset that Jimbo Fisher got 10 years and then another 10-year contract to extend it to effectively do worse than Kevin Sumlin, who was run out of town because they thought he couldn't get them to the next level. It's just insane.
And guess what? I think we might be both wrong because Craig Counsell is now the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. So I guess just everybody's handing out money to whoever at any time.
I guess so. I've got a list of guys who, I mean, this is kind of a pretty common list. I've added some three people at the end that I haven't seen on some lists. The biggest names are Lane Kiffin. I don't think he's leaving. Dan Lanning. I think Dan Lanning said he's not leaving. Dan Lanning is perfect. Dan Lanning's also insane if he leaves because I think he has got it.
Hold on. You said perfect, period. Do you mean perfect for Oregon or you just think this man is the perfect coach?
I think he's never sinned in his life. That's what I'm saying right now. But also that.
Wow.
Also that. No, I think for him to go.
Huge Bo Nix fan, huge Dan Lanning fan. Let's just get into it.
Look, man, he had me when he played Washington and he was like, I'm going for it. I'm going for every 2-point conversion. I'm going for on fourth down. I don't give an F. And he did it and it burned him, but he stuck to it. I love that guy. That guy's insane. That guy seems like a real handful conversationally and emotionally, but I love him as a coach. You
know? Yeah, he's definitely not going there.
There's no, that's insane. What a great situation in Oregon, especially going into the Big Ten, whereas Texas A&M, it's an uphill battle. Don't do that. Mike Elko was at Texas A&M. I think he's done a great job at Duke. I've seen Jeff Traylor, who at UTSA, yeah, evidently he's a rock star in waiting. But I've got three names.
I think that the UTSA coach.
You think that's the guy?
No. I think that's the top of the list. I think that that's the number one target. Or I guess I should say, I think that's where where it ends up landing. I have one other name for you, but I want to go through yours here and see. I have a feeling that you're not gonna say my name though.
No, probably not. So say yours because my three are weird. Does it rhyme with Coach Prime?
No, it rhymes with Schmat Schmamble.
Ooh, that's a no. That's a no for me, dog.
No. Okay, but Matt Campbell, here's what the pitch is. I was good a couple years ago. I had my bad years right now, right? I almost got the USC job. I got my bad years right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and take this job. Good years ahead. You're getting me at a low as opposed to getting Jimbo Fisher at a high.
Okay.
That's just smart. That's how that's how Matt Campbell's manager works to keep him in Iowa State.
That is smart to be like, hey, I'm not doing great right now. But you're getting me at a low price, which you
remember when I was good.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be good with us. No, I've got the obvious one that everyone's thinking because people are talking about Coach Prime. There's no way that's happening. He's not going to leave Travis Hunter and Shadur.
They'll just go with him. But yeah, I don't think
they can transfer Texas again. Can they? Or it might be because it's D1.
My friend, if you ask me what the rules are for NIL, for the portal, for any of this, I have for the COVID year. I think some people are on their seventh or eighth season, like Jason White. Remember him from Oklahoma? And he just kept coming back.
He's still
and
out there playing.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's JT Daniels?
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are.
JT Daniels, he's technically a freshman, so he's got 4 more years after this.
Remember when he went to West Virginia? And then this year I saw him again, and then I sent it to you and Andre, and you were like, yeah, buddy, he just keeps going. There's no stopping him. He's on like Rice or something now.
He backed up Johnny Lujack at Notre Dame in the 30s. So it's just good to see him out there throwing, you know?
Great reference.
The obvious candidate that people are too scared to talk about is Coach O.
It's Mel Tucker.
That's a good one too. Well, it's a tag team. Mel Tucker, Coach O. Which is never going to have any lawsuits there at all. I could just Coach O in College Station being like, go Tigers. I mean, Aggies, go Aggies would be the greatest thing ever for me.
But why are you all out here dancing all the time in overalls? That's my question. So much dancing in overalls, just screaming at each other.
I don't need a leader.
Let's just put, get out. Let's just play football instead.
I don't need 12th man. We don't need 11th man on the field. That's ridiculous.
If you think about it,
the 12th man ends up being a penalty. That's bad for the team. Okay, no more 12th man. That's how we're going to do it now.
I fixed you up real good.
I went to the NFL for two guys that I would actually secretly love to see.
I'm getting more nervous as you're building these people up because I'm like, okay, what's he going to say now? Andy Reid to Texas A&M? Here we go.
One we're invested in, one we're not. The first one we're invested in.
That didn't make me feel any better.
Mike McDaniel. Go to college.
Oh, my God.
You'd be the king of
college. Go to college.
You would be the king of college football.
Do you understand that Texas A&M, the entire Aggie Nation, Aggie Land, would not comprehend, would not have the ability to, I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm saying they're just worlds apart.
Yeah.
Right? They would not understand the bits that he was doing in his press conferences.
Look, NFL doesn't respect him. They don't have the sense of humor. College, they would. They would respect him. They would love him. There's precedence. There's symmetry about an SEC program going to Miami and getting someone who transforms the future of their program when Alabama went and got Nick Saban. I know he's like, why would you step down? Because he's doing pretty good in the NFL. But I just feel like that guy would recruit like nobody else. He's the coolest guy. Innovation. You're getting a guy who's going to put points up on the board. Like, throw a checkbook at him and just be like, right.
But not to Texas A&M. That is not a fit in the best way possible, for the record. So I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. If you're Mike McDaniel, you go to college, you're going to UCLA. You're going to Hawaii. You're going somewhere that is, man, he doesn't fit Miami. I'm trying to think what would actually be the best fit for Mike McDaniel in college. Because I agree. I'm kind of interested in him going to college. I don't think that's going to happen. He's been in the pros, I think, his entire career or almost all of his career.
Yeah.
But Texas A&M and Mike McDaniel is a wild fit from you.
It would be hilarious. But there is a guy who is in the NFL. Who kind of follows that Saban track record of, he's in a job, he's a good coach, job's not great, he's got a lot of college experience. Brian Daboll.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bill O'Brien. That's interesting.
I did think about Bill O'Brien.
Describe both of them.
Because he's going to be out of a job soon because of what's going on in New England. Bill O'Brien. Not really. I mean,
no.
Kind of.
If Bill Belichick stays, he stays. And Daboll also maybe out of a job. He's not going to be out of a job either.
Bill Belichick's not staying because Bill Belichick's getting fired. I can promise you that.
Bill Belichick doesn't get fired. Bill Belichick fires.
Okay. Bill Belichick will commit ritual seppuku firing on himself at the end of this.
Hear me out. What if the next move for the Belichick Kraft situation is that Belichick's no longer the GM? And then that's next year. And then if it doesn't get turned around, he's gone after that. You can't just fire the guy. You can't. I mean, we don't have to do the entire Bill Belichick thing right here, but because we both have our stances for next season. But
look, he's just not going to get fired. When people are out in these streets leaking ring camera footage of you exiting your side piece's front door to go home in the morning shirtless, that it's just, I'm not saying.
Spoiler alert, Belichick leaked that. You know why? Now the city knows he's game.
Now,
okay.
The city knows that
you
didn't think
the business was open. The open sign has been turned on and it's bright.
Seeing Belichick do a walk of shame, or I don't know what that was, but like seeing him post coital situation is when you're like in kindergarten and you see your kindergartner teacher like at a restaurant and you're like, whoa, you're not just a teacher. Like, you have a life.
You left school.
Yeah. You do other things. You eat food at other places like Cracker Barrel. It was jarring to see Bill Belichick in a tangentially sexual situation.
If by jarring you mean absolutely incredible and good for him because his body, his choice, then absolutely I agree.
Now, because there was a woman that he was invested in.
His choice. I have no clue.
I want to say her name was Linda, but like, she showed up a lot of places. Evidently they broke up.
Oh,
the buzz was, yes, after they broke up, he kind of went a little nuts. And the idea is that's kind of contributing to some of the instability here professionally. No matter.
Are you alleging Bill Belichick of a Coach O type?
No, it was parlance? Above board. It was just like he got his heart broken and he, you know, I don't know, got into like a Smith's phase or something. And he was just like, I don't know how to deal with this. You know, I do like Brian Daboll. I don't think he will come to college, even though he has a lot of experience in college. And I think he'd do a good job. But I think if you're looking at the New York Giants and you're like, this sucks, I got no talent, I got no quarterback, I'm overpaying for a running back, I don't know. I could see the allure of a more chill situation in the SEC.
I think he'd have to be fired to go there. I don't think Brian Daboll leaves a head coaching job by himself to go to Texas A&M, knowing that it's going to be a very difficult situation. I think the best chance that Texas A&M has at getting a good coach is finding the next Dan Lanning, if you will. It's like, it has to.
I just don't think
it
has to be some. They have to make a splash. It's almost like
there's no one to splash with.
I agree with you. This is a tough situation because they should go like a Mike Elko or Jeff Traylor and be a conservative, consistent, long-term planning. but I feel like they have to do a cannonball here, or they think they have to do a cannonball, and they're going to end up with Urban Meyer for like 2 years coaching waiting something.
Hear me out.
Johnny Manziel. I was thinking it too. Exactly.
Dabo Swinney to Texas A&M.
Dabo, come home.
Who says no?
Hear me out. Josh Dobbs.
Dabo, come home.
Josh Dobbs. You know, you've been doing it in the NFL as a quarterback. They don't respect you like we would. Just come coach our program. I bet you could figure it out.
I've got something to tease for Thursday. My brother and his AI bots, Baby Billy Bayless, use his team of AI bots to write a Disney Channel feature called Stellar Quarterback.
Oh, okay. I love this. Immediately.
Featuring Josh Dobbs.
Is it stellar or interstellar? Because I feel like if he's an astrophysicist, you got to have an interstellar.
It's what the bots came up with. I don't think we're not to notes yet. Okay.
Interstellar squad, you know, and it's like the best inter squad quarterback on campus.
And there is the
I know you said no notes, but I just feel like I want to give notes right now.
I'm aware you do because you love it so much. The villain's
it's also
name
ISS.
Is
That's the interesting part. It's ISS. There's some overlap. That's interesting. Just think about it.
The villain's name is Dr. Celeste Stardust. AI is incredible, man.
Let me ask this just really quickly. This is not an adult film. Confirm? That's confirming?
Does that up the budget?
It could. I don't know what the DCOMs are about right now.
It could lower the budget.
This is no dog with a blog so far, but I do like Dr. Celeste Stardust, you know? Okay, what are you starting this week?
This week, I am starting to be behind and put my money behind Michael Penix Jr. Mm. You will recall from years ago, I loved him at Indiana. You will recall that, okay?
That's true.
You will recall that you loved him all season, even though you love Bo Nix even more. Mm. Michael Penix Jr., that you call a different name, for Heisman this season. Let's go.
What's do you have the current odds right now?
Plus 275. Bo Nix is plus 100.
Yeah, like the Bo Nix odds like shifted dramatically, which I don't understand, because I think he's had a good year, but I think in terms of like Michael Penix Jr., he's still undefeated. Jaden Daniels, he is, I don't know what he's doing, but he's on one. It's just LSU's not good enough. Weirdly, Caleb Williams has fumbled the bag. If I had to pick between Michael Penix Jr., I would pick him over Bo Nix. So I don't know what the rationale is there.
I agree. I think it's just about, you know, what money's coming in right now and who's looking hotter. And I think Michael is going to need to have a Jaden Daniels-esque run these last couple of games. And then I think that Washington's going to have to play, I don't know how the Pac-12 does their freaking conference championship, but do they have to play Oregon again? Is it the top two teams, or do they have divisions? I don't remember.
I have no idea. Yep. I don't think they had divisions.
All right, so they're going to play Oregon again. We'll just say that and fix it later in post.
Okay, for in terms of sitting for this week, I'm going to sit. So I've got, you know, obviously a big weekend here in Tennessee. Georgia's coming to town. It's we thought there were going to be some stakes on this game. But Missouri made sure that actually there are no stakes in this game, really, because absolute. I'm going to go say, I think that was a BTA. That was not a BTB, because they didn't just beat that, but they beat that A, you know. That was pretty. I was concerned going into it that it was going to be a close, it could go either way affair. Missouri, I think, put everybody on notice. And look, the trash that Eli Drinkwitz talked after that game, chef's kiss. I love a coach who will talk a little trash. You know, let's bring that back. Let's make coaches talk trash again. But all that said, Tennessee, Georgia, I don't know if you saw this. This is a very big deal. And maybe not everybody gets this. Like, I understand it because I am native to Tennessee. But Dolly Parton has announced that she will be in attendance. And I just think, I want to sit this for all the Tennessee fans around me, because this is a huge deal. One time I was in Dollywood and she showed up to Dollywood, and that was probably the biggest deal that I've ever experienced in my life. The fact that she's going to go to Neyland Stadium is a little bit like when Aslan rolls into Narnia, you know, people just trying to like make it day to day, paycheck to pay, like beaver paycheck to beaver paycheck, you know, just like trying to do their thing. But when Aslan shows up, things get real and things get cool. that's kind of what I think they want this to be for Dolly and Neyland Stadium. I just don't think it's going to happen this year, though, unfortunately.
Okay. Tired, Taylor and Travis, who are obviously in a very real relationship.
Of course.
And are in love. That's yes. Tired. Wired, Dolly Parton and Will Levis.
Okay.
Who says no first? Come on.
Who says no first? Not Will Levis. I'll tell you that right now. Look, and I just want to say, I don't think this is like, I'm not required by law or contract to say hand up accountability. I might have been wrong on Will Levis, but I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm
no. There's time. You don't have to do that.
I will say this though. I didn't think he'd ever do this. I didn't think he'd ever throw like three competent passes in an NFL game. But I've been impressed so far. So good for you, Will Levis.
It's okay. He did not look the best against the Bucs. Like we will see. And I'm not against, and I'm not pro for the record. I just want us to stay in the middle. I don't want us to get this one wrong. I want us to be patient on this one.
Okay, look, see, a lot of this is about expectation. I thought it was going to be a lot of, like, at least over 5.5 lining up behind the guard to take the snap, over 3.5 butt fumbles.
So just sheer intelligence was your play originally.
I just thought this is going to be an unmitigated disaster, and it hasn't been. So I want to shake his hand firmly and be like, you're not a disaster. Congratulations. I misjudged you maybe, perhaps. But yeah, I just want everyone to be chill because Dolly's going to show up. It's going to be a huge deal. People's lives are going to be changed. And then Georgia's still going to win by like 15, you know? So just have your expectations in order. What are you sitting this week?
All right, this week I'm going to sit the college football playoff. We need 12 teams right now. Now, I'm only saying that because I think what is about to happen in the college football playoff is going to be the best thing that we've all been waiting for. It's going to be a zero-loss Michigan team from the Big Ten, a zero-loss Georgia team from the SEC, a zero-loss Florida State team from the ACC, and a zero-loss Washington Huskies from the Pac-12. We're going to get those four teams in the top four playing against each other in the college football playoff, and it's going to be amazing. That being said, if those four teams end up undefeated, it would be pretty fun to be to that 8-12, whatever the situation is planned to be for next year, to have some chaos that you know would happen. Because when you have four undefeateds at the top, and if they make it all the way through, which it's looking okay, it's not looking great for all four, but it's looking very reasonable. You know, that would be a fun type of ingredients for the playoff system.
Look, it would be incredible. I lament a little bit that it's not going to happen. And I feel pretty confident that something's going to get screwed up, namely Michigan, maybe in the Ohio State game that I keep saying. Did you see this? That Oregon State now is like a point favorite over Washington this weekend. It's one of those fishy lines.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Watch out. Watch out for DJ. And congratulations to you. This has been 3 years of working towards pronouncing that last name. And you did it, buddy. You did
Thank
it.
You. So Look you think you. That who do you think goes down? I'm saying that Ohio State goes down to Michigan. I'll tattoo bet that right now. I don't know if we already have or not. We definitely said we're going to track these, and then maybe we did, maybe we didn't. The point is that Michigan is not losing to Ohio State. Period. Point blank. No questions asked.
Michigan could go down. After their win this weekend at Penn State, was it Sharon Moore, I think is his name, the interview? There's a lot of emotion, and that's good when it's working with you. That's not good when it's not working with you, you know? And I just feel like there's a lot of volatility there. I think it seems like in Vegas seems to agree that Washington is on the ropes right now. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's just the grind. I think they're a little wobbly. I would worry
Oregon,
about.
Oregon, Arizona would also agree on that Washington take with Vegas, I'd say. They played them pretty close.
I feel like Oregon, Oregon is the best team for your example, because if you let Oregon get in the mix,
yep,
I feel like they will haymaker people. I also, is this the
Texas
right time?
Could.
I think after they lost their dude, their running back, I think it was Robinson. They're a different team now, a diminished team, to be sure. Is this, or should we save this for Thursday? Is this where we talk about Alabama, the Alabama of it all? What is the?
I mean, I haven't said anything bad about Alabama all year, but not all of us are taking that stance. I said they were going to lose to Texas, but then I didn't say anything else negative about them. Maybe we do save this for Thursday, but I just want to tell you, okay, you've got the four teams that I mentioned, and then Ohio State, who I'm giving a loss to. Then you got, like you said, Oregon Ducks, Texas Longhorns, Alabama Crimson Tide 9-1, A frisky Louisville team. People are forgetting how good Louisville is.
Yeah.
And then Oregon State, Missouri at 11, meh. And then Penn State and Oklahoma right behind them at 12 and 13. I'm going to excuse Missouri out of those and put Penn State and Oklahoma in.
How dare you? You get your nasty, disgusting Penn State, James Franklin, frankly, deviant. I can't understand why you'd want to watch James Franklin and Penn State dookie on themselves in the bed again when you can watch Eli Drinkwitz and you can watch a Missouri program that's so counterculture, that's so underdog. You would prefer to reward James Franklin's mediocrity? Is that what I'm hearing?
Only because he just lost to Ohio State and Michigan. So throw him in there, create some Big Ten chaos. Everybody's a little bit afraid of playing their own conference in the playoff, right?
I can promise you that Ohio State and Michigan are not afraid of playing Penn State
again
anywhere. Okay, fair. You could play; they play them on the surface of the sun, and they would not be worried.
I can tell you for a fact that nobody of the teams I named is scared of playing Missouri.
That's fine. That's fine with me. But at least it's interesting. I've seen James Franklin line up for the kick and completely miss the ball enough time. That's actually my cut for this week. Not to jump the gun or anything.
Go ahead and jump. We're going to save more college football possibly for Thursday.
Let's just, like, can we stop? Can we just stop with James Franklin? Can we stop with Penn State? I know they fired their offensive coordinator. Like, that's the issue. It's not the issue. It's James Franklin. And look, I understand the take of, like, he's actually pretty good. It's just he can't beat Ohio State and Michigan, which a lot of people can't. That's true. But that's not what you signed up for. You signed up for, like Texas A&M, you signed up for a guy who you thought was going to go toe-to-toe and beat them pretty consistently. Instead, you've got a guy who is upper mediocre. And that's the worst place to be, is upper mediocre, especially when you talk a game that's like elite aristocracy. And I just want James Franklin to be like, I want him to like have a press conference. Remember the press conference we made Tiger Woods do when he was like, hey, I'm Tiger.
We made Tiger Woods do in front of his mom. No, we did not. That was press conference. Yeah,
He had to do a press conference where he was basically like, look, I have too much sex. I have a lot of sex. I have crazy amounts of sex. I had sex with a Perkins waitress. I had sex with just a lot of people. And just, I'm sorry that I'm having so much sex and that you found out about it. I'm actually not sorry about the sex. I'm sorry that you found out about how much sex I'm having. It was a weird press conference. I want James Franklin to be like, I'm kind of a phony. And I need to acknowledge that in front of you, God, and everyone here today. And I'm sorry about that.
I just wanted you to know you've gone too far with James Franklin because I'm pretty sure, wasn't it earlier this year that you were almost in on James Franklin, if I remember correctly?
I was willing. Look, that's why I'm like a flexible rubber band and I'm willing to be pulled.
Oh my gosh.
And stretched.
That's what we always say about you. The most flexible rubber bandish guy we know.
Like, sir, you're such like an emotional rubber band and we love it. We love like the volatility of your takes. I was willing to listen and I was willing to listen to the really good defense and a young quarterback who's going to get it. And then you know what they did? They did nothing in these big games. Like, that mattered. So I'm done. It's over. I'm divorcing myself from ever talking about him again.
Okay. Well, I'm not, because I loved him at Vanderbilt. I like him at Penn State. I'm not convinced, and I'm now aware of some Penn State listeners of the show. I'm not convinced that Penn State could get a better coach. Now, you can say whatever you want about him.
I agree with you.
Okay. So this is not a shot at Penn State. I think he's a really, really, really good coach. I think Michigan and Ohio State are just, that's like saying Josh Heupel's doing a bad job because he can't beat Georgia. Like, Nick Saban's not beating Georgia. It's a situation all around with some of these teams. And I think that if this thing explodes in Michigan, and I think that Ohio State does not have a better coach than Penn State does, that we might be a year or two away from James Franklin beating both Ohio State and Michigan in the same season.
Wow. So maybe in 2 years he might beat those teams. Incredible. For $10 million a year,
that's okay.
Like a little bit more.
It's okay to be that. It's okay to be right there if you're Penn State. It really is. Like, I mean, you can't just guarantee stuff. Jimbo did a really, really bad job. James Franklin has not done even a bad job, let alone a really bad job.
No, he's just never going to get you over the finish line. He's just like an edge lord who's going to get you close, but he's never going to let you be done. Do you know his name is James Jeffrey Franklin? So this is Jim Jeff Frank. That's a name that I'm supposed to be inspired by.
Be very clear that his middle name Jeffrey is with a G. Geoff. It's
Geoffrey.
It's Jim Geoff Frank.
I don't like any of that. And I wish I would have known it sooner. And I would have gotten this take out like a much earlier.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We will no longer say James Franklin. He is now JGF because we're definitely going to remember to do that every time.
Okay. Yeah. 100%.
NPH, 100%. JGF, basically
the same person. Can I ask something before you do your cut? Can I ask something crazy? Should Texas A&M visit Kyle Whittingham in Utah and just be like $1 billion?
Yes. And you know what he should say? He should say no. Because he is the greatest fit for that school.
He is. It does feel like Moneyball when Billy Beane's taking a Fenway and they're like, you'll have a war chest. And he's just like, no, my daughter did a mixtape and I love the mixtape. So I got to stay in Oakland, which I get. I understand that. But I want Kyle Whittingham to not. Sometimes I want him to coach a team that is not quarterbacked by a pig farmer. No disrespect to Bryson Barnes. But I would be like, what if it was a 5-star pig farmer? What would that look like? You know,
I love that. And I think that is probably, now that you've said that, that is probably the number one candidate, the Utah coach for Texas A&M.
That would be amazing. I don't think he'd ever leave in a million years. Okay, who's your cut this week?
My cut this week is the Bills. I'm just gonna say it. They're bad. I'm not. There's nothing. I stuck with Notre Dame.
You hung on as long as you could.
I stuck with Notre Dame for three losses, and then I gave up. Right? Like, I still love him. I still love the team. I still love the coach. I still love the quarterback at Notre Dame. I still love Josh Allen, but my goodness, this is worse than Sam Hartman's worst game against Clemson. Like, something's broken.
Yeah, I feel you've been the person in the submerged underwater cave, and you found the last air bubble, and you've been holding out hope that someone will drain that cave, and it just got flooded even more. When I saw Ken Dorsey before the game looking like Unabomber Jr., I was like, ooh, I don't like any of this. And then, you know, secretly, the Broncos have kind of gotten decent, you know, ever since Mike McDaniel dropped 70 on them. I feel like they've been okay. But still, you got to beat, especially to lose the way they lost. I saw it this morning on the highlights.
Please remember that the teams I support the highest are Notre Dame in college football and the Bills in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame lost because they had 10 men on the field, right? And that's bad.
Right.
The Bills lost because they had 12 men on the field.
Okay.
So people are starting to ask, is this me? Am I the problem? Is there a mass situation that I'm putting out into the world that's causing these teams to not, like Coach O said, just play with 11? We don't need a 12th man, okay?
We don't need it. It's superfluous. Don't. Buffalo, you went ahead and did it.
No, it was better earlier. I lost it.
It was. Yeah, it's just a vibe. You got to ride the wave, you know?
I got real sad last night. We're watching Monday Night Football, and my son asks me, Dad, who's your favorite team in the NFL? Hmm. And this is when the Bills are down, like, I don't know, 9-3 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, the Buffalo Bills. He's like, Buffalo Bills are my favorite team too. I was like, oh, that's cool.
So you're doing it to your kids now. Wow.
And then he asked, who's your favorite player in the NFL? And I said, Josh Allen. And he said, yeah, that's my favorite player too. I was like, that's awesome, bud. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if
you're responsible for some stuff, man.
I don't know if you checked the scores this morning. He really thought they were going to just come back in the second half. There was no comeback ability. Oh, what? They should be better. Josh Allen looks like rookie year Josh Allen. It's so bad. What's your cut this week? I'm moving on.
No, James Jeff was mine. So I want to linger on this for a minute because
dang it.
What if Josh Allen wants you to go where you're like, come home, you know, he wants you to go home to the Houston Texans. He knows you're meant for CJ Stroud. And if you love something, let it go. And if it comes back, it was meant to be. And if you go to Houston and you hang out with CJ Stroud and you're like, and D'Amico Ryans, and you're like, I really do miss Josh and Sean McDermott, who looks like a beady-eyed serial killer, then it's meant to be. So maybe he's pushing you. Maybe it's like, you know, those old movies where you try to get rid of a pet and you'd be like, go on, get out of here. Go on, scram. Maybe that's what they're doing with you by letting
we don't want you here no more.
Look, is there any feeling worse than rooting for a team that Sean Payton's team is beating you? Because when they cut over to him on the sideline, he looks so obnoxious. Honestly, he looks like the biggest jerk. It's the worst feeling.
My friend, Notre Dame lost to Clemson. Yes, there is only one worse feeling than what you just described.
Sorry.
And I've gone through both of them this year. I lost to Russell Wilson last night. He is freaking terrible.
He looked really rejuvenated in this game. I will say that.
I know he did.
A little bit I saw. Yep. It used to be Pete Carroll. When you're getting beat by Pete Carroll and he's strolling on the sidelines, chomping that gum, he handed it to Dabo. You're exactly right. In college, it's Dabo. When he is like high-stepping on the sideline and doing his like weird cliches, that's the worst thing. But in the NFL, it's Sean Payton, I think. It really is.
It's Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. That is like the evilest duo in NFL history.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for Star State Cut for this week. Again, Grace, thank you for the grace and patience for us being a day late to accommodate travel and holiday celebrations. But as always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.